Welcome back. It's another edition of the Falcon Cast podcast. You know, it seems like we cannot get the three of us into a room
for
together.
For multiple weeks.
Right. But I am Jay Adams. I'm in the hosting chair once again. DJ Shockley right across from me. Our producer, Brian Bosek, is in the building. But John Michaels of 92.9 The Game fame is currently stuck in traffic in Buckhead and cannot make it up for this week's taping.
It's going to be multiple weeks because I'm out of town all next week.
Oh, my goodness.
So we're going to have 2 weeks in a row where we won't have all three together.
Let me tell you.
All four guys together.
The Falcon cast has turned into quite a rotation. it's just you're getting your opinions from a variety of combinations. This one seems to be the most common one, though.
Yes. Yeah. Luckily, we were able to get some good talks in before the draft. We had four of us.
That is true. That is true. The big draft extravaganza, we had all of us here.
That's when you really need it.
And then right afterwards, we had everybody here, and now John's stuck in traffic.
It's all good, man.
It is. We're ready. DJ's got his Ray-Bans here. We got a banana.
Trying to stay healthy, man. You know, today, you know, I'm still staying in the gym, trying to, you know.
What are you squatting these days?
I saw a video.
Back to the squat.
That was a while ago, you know. But that was one of the moments where you're like, do I still got it? And I want to make sure I still got it. But now I'm, you know, not as heavy or weight, but I do a lot of reps and stuff, a lot of cardio. You know, gotta look the part. You know, you can't be one of those guys when they're done playing. You're like, that dude is terrible looking now.
Yeah.
So I didn't want to be one of them dudes. So I'm making sure I stay fit and stay healthy, man.
That guy really let himself go.
Yeah. You're like, that guy played quarterback? No way.
You know who I've seen on television? And stop playing with my buttons. I'm trying
peeking.
To hear myself.
Bosek is like a little
maybe
DJ
I need to
over
fix
there,
my,
man.
Bosek's over here playing with buttons. I keep fixing my mic.
I'm making sure we sound good for the people.
I'm trying to. Which button here is me? No, that ain't. I'm going the wrong way. Okay, so now I can actually hear myself.
Yeah, all right.
Speaking of guys, I've been watching NFL Network, NFL Now, and you see a lot of the former NFL players on there now.
What's in their suits?
Maurice Jones-Drew is looking a little bowling ball-y. Yeah. A little bit.
That's not what I want. I don't want to be that guy.
Yeah.
Where if you got a two-piece button suit and that top button is on its last thread, that's not the guy I want
to
be.
Now, don't get me wrong. I'm a big guy, so I'm allowed to call other guys big. So, but don't get me wrong. I love MJD. I just saying. It's
like
funny,
a
man.
Ball,
it's easy. It's easy to gain that weight once your career is done.
No doubt.
I betcha.
Because you got nothing to really work out for. You're not worried about team looking at you.
No,
so
man.
Just go ahead and get that 20-piece lemon pepper and say, let's go with it.
Yeah, exactly. That's an easy decision.
Fries and ranch and everything, man.
Everything.
Feel good about it.
Get it all, exactly. All right, well, we're going to run through a couple of topics here today. Rookie minicamp, the top among them. We'll talk about maybe one of the biggest draft bargains here. And Dan Quinn with Plan D and how Plan D has really affected the Falcons roster and how some of these younger guys are coming along. We've got a break with Bosek, and the question
is
an all-timer, I think.
It is tremendous. Oh,
and then we'll have our final play. Remember, you can subscribe to us. Find us on iTunes. Please rate us. If you like the show, because I looked the other day and we have two reviews. One of them, I think, is from like 2013 or 12. And it says it's a good show, but if they would update it more often. That way we were a little bit more sporadic back in the days. And I can't remember what the other one said, but our rating is not very high.
So got to work on that.
Apparently
we're not
very good. And I looked at some competing Falcon podcasts, and they're doing very well.
So
people don't like us, and that's okay.
Sorry, man, but people are listening. Though, I mean, it's great because I get tons of stuff on my Twitter. I get tons of stuff where people say they listen to the podcast. So I don't know, man. I guess those people don't tell me they don't like it.
We're here for the people who love us, so that's what we do. We all get together sometimes. and talk a little Falcons.
We're part of it sometime.
All right, so rookie minicamp took place over the weekend, and I was here for all of it, taking in all the sights, sounds, and whatnot of rookie minicamp. And I got to tell you, DJ, I know you that you were probably busy on some golf course somewhere. But I will tell you one of my biggest impressions from this year's rookie minicamp. We talked, I said in this seat just a week ago, that rookie minicamp kind of looks like a bunch of guys who have never seen a football before.
Yeah.
This rookie minicamp was nothing like that at all.
Really?
There was a crispness to the practice. There was confidence from the draft picks, a couple in particular that I'll call out here in a moment. But it looked like good football.
Yeah.
What would cause something like that?
You know what? I think the day and age that we're in now, the kids, the players, they're coming in a little bit more prepared. They're coming in knowing what to expect. And you look at some of the guys that we drafted, they come from programs, they come from pedigrees where maybe they had a brother like a Keanu Neal who played in the National Football League, mm-hmm. or you got guys like Austin Hooper who has a lineage of tight ends before him that's playing in the NFL that they can reach back and talk to guys and say, all right, this is what to expect. This is what rookie minicamp's going to look like. This is what training camp's going to look like. This is what's going to happen in the combine. Because I remember when I was coming out, I would ask guys who came before me, like who just, you know, got drafted a year before, what's it going to be like? What, you know, I want to have a little insight, and I think guys are coming in more prepared. Guys are coming in mentally more prepared than anything. Obviously, the physical part of it, some guys are more physically talented than others, and, you know, you can see that. But everybody's physically talented if you make it to the National Football League. Everybody understands that. But I think the mental side of the game is where everybody has changed, and they understand what's it's going to take. And now I think they look at it like, okay, college, high school, all that was for fun. That was for play. This is my career. This is my job. This is how I will feed my family. This is how I will make a living. And they take it a little bit more serious now. So I think that's where the change has come from over the past year or two or past couple years of how guys mentally look at when they come into a rookie minicamp and everything. And when we was getting ready for this, I asked Bosek, you know, I text you as well because, you know, I was curious about some of the guys. I asked Bosek, you know, was there anybody that you saw that kind of just – you know, you saw the film on them, but when you see them in person, it's a different thing. And I'm sure you could say that as well. As you know, you saw these guys up close and personal. Was there anybody that you saw that you thought was bigger or faster or just had a little bit more edge to them than you thought?
You were probably surprised at some of the texts I sent.
I was.
I remember you asked, and I couldn't type fast enough to get my little emotions were going crazy trying to tell you about how some of the guys look. Now, I will caution everybody listening that, look, this is rookie minicamp. There's no contact. From a playbook perspective, we're not exactly firing rockets into orbit, you know. And they're playing against each other.
Yeah.
There's no veterans out there except for, you know, a couple of practice squad guys that have that eligibility to participate in rookie minicamp. So, you know, you have to take that into perspective. But a couple of guys that stood out for me, I'll just start off with somebody who was a lot bigger than I thought he was, is a Devondre Campbell.
Really?
This kid is gigantic. Just gigantic. You would look at him and you'd be like, that's a defensive end.
Yeah.
No doubt. That's really? A defensive end. That's a Jadeveon Clowney defensive end. He's built that way, and yet he can play really, really well standing up. Never saw him put his hand in the dirt at all during rookie minicamp, so you know he's going to be playing standing up. And he goes about 6'3", and you think about 6'3", I'm 5'8". So if I'm thinking about 6'3", I better have a ladder nearby. Mm. But the size of him is just something that really struck me. He's got very long limbs, very lanky, and the thing that surprised me perhaps the most after having those initial impressions was the fact that he had speed to him.
Yeah.
He had speed to him with a bigger body, a bigger frame, longer limbs, kind of lanky, and was able to really guard against slot receivers and tight ends. He did a really good job.
That was probably my biggest question about a guy of his size, because I remember talking to him after the draft, And one of the things you can tell he was more proud about, one thing that he was just more anxious to talk about was, yeah, I'm big, I can rush, but also I've covered slot guys, I've covered running backs, I've even covered receivers, you know, that's in the slot coming out. So he said, I can do that. I can cover tight ends. So I was looking forward to hearing about him actually being able to go out and do it. And yeah. I just talk about it because, you know, it's a different level. But it's great to hear you say he was a guy who's out there who can run with the guys just as well, just to be as big as he is. And I think a lot of people are going to be curious about him and Deion Jones because of their size. They're two different types of players.
Right.
But the things that they can do, especially when put in space. And I know Coach Quinn talks about it a lot is, you know, the days of having, you know, the same three linebackers of, you know, Sam, Mike, and Will, and the Mike is usually 245 and he's a thumper and all that kind of stuff is kind of over with,
it's
because
done, yeah.
You have offenses these days who are primarily they want to be in 3-4 wide receiver sets, so you're going to be in a lot of nickel defenses, so you need guys who can play well in space but also can come up and be hitters as well.
You know, the other thing, too, is that you talk about a lot of these guys, especially the drafted guys who were taken on days 2 and 3. You know, they're really going to have to carve their niche in special teams, and you know that. And special teams practice ends up being quite a big part of rookie minicamp. And the very first play of punt drills, Campbell runs down the field and strips the ball out of Devin Fuller's hands.
Oh, man.
So, I mean, very first play, he's down there causing fumbles. I mean, so this is a kid who he looked fast, confident, strong, got a good head for the game, just in my initial impressions of him. And it'll be interesting to see how he reacts once he gets on the field with the veterans, because that's always what's going to tell the tale. But if there was anybody who kind of outdid him, I would say it would be Austin Hooper.
Really? I was just going to ask you, is when you look at Austin Hooper and you look at the highlights, we've seen the highlights plenty of times and how great they are, but my biggest thing is how did he look as far as his route running skills, as far as finding those zones and all that?
You're going to hate me for this, and a lot of people are going to get after me on Twitter for this to make even this comparison, but there was a distinct look of Tony Gonzalez to the way he runs routes.
Really?
I mean, I'm not even kidding. And Tony, you know, was prideful about his route running, practiced it constantly. I mean, here was a guy who was years away from getting in the Hall of Fame. He already had it locked up. The gold jacket's been sized up.
Defensive drills, he's over there running routes. Yeah.
In the very first part of practice, he's over there running routes and catching passes like he's, you know, a first day of high school, you know. So this was a guy who practiced his craft like crazy. And I see Austin Hooper come out. He's built very much like Tony. But the way he runs his routes, his ability to stop and get in front of the defensive backs was what really kind of tripped up the secondary when they were doing some 11-on-11 stuff. And I saw him go up against Devondre Campbell. I saw him go up against Keanu Neal. I saw him go up against a couple of guys at one time, and he was able to get in front of him, and he was able to make the play. There was literally nothing that came into his area that he did not come down with.
Let me ask you. I know they're out there, and you know, no pads on, and all that kind of stuff. But the physicality part of it, of maybe you're getting jammed, or maybe using your body to body up guys on underneath routes. What did he look like there?
I mean, he was getting off the line without a problem.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's the thing is you're not going to be able to push this kid around.
Yeah.
So
creating space and everything, separation, everything. That's the big thing I know this offense is going to need is a tight end who can create space and also get itself open. Especially, you know, we talk about him a lot, usually being used in the red zone, but a guy who can create space for himself out in the middle of the field and everything.
Yeah, and this is a guy who is not afraid to go right over the middle, and you know, take what's his. It was really interesting to watch him. And what's funny is, just in talking to him, what I love about him is he is the classic California kid.
Yeah, real laid back.
Like,
dude.
Laid back.
Super
life
laid.
Is cool, man. Just chill. nothing's going to get to this kid.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to get in his head. The pressure's not going to get to him. He is about as relaxed and cool and chill as any player I've ever seen.
Those guys, you know, the moment won't be too big.
It
won't
be.
When the veterans get in and
right.
they have to go out with them, this won't be a wide-eyed guy. You can
right.
tell just by what you're saying. As a guy who's been around it, he knows it, but
now
his mentality is going to be that type, I think.
The unfortunate thing is the way – well, it's not unfortunate, but it's just the way things work out is when you draft a Pac-12 guy, you have to deal with their semesters. Mm-hmm. And they are – so Hooper is back at school now, finishing up school, and he will miss a good chunk of – OTAs.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, we ran into the same situation a couple of years ago with Levine Toilolo.
Trufant. Yep.
And so you've got a couple of guys. I think I saw Devin Fuller. He was here today. So I think he's just done with school. And then Wes Schweitzer is finishing up his degree. So those are two guys who are going to miss some time.
Wow.
So for Hooper, it's going to be important to take those mental reps. I don't know what the rules are pertaining to whether they can have a playbook or whether they can call up the coaches or what the whole deal is with that concerning the CBA. There's a lot of stuff in there that
yeah.
People like us just don't understand. But, you know, if you're able to have a playbook out there, if you're able to have somebody send in you film or you're able to get on the phone with your coach, you know, that's definitely something that I'm sure they're setting up.
Big obviously, I want to hear about, you know, the first-round pick and Keanu Neal, and I'm sure a lot of people are interested in hearing how he looked in minicamp, you know, especially everybody thinks he's going to come in and be the guy who, you know, is going to cover your tight ends, going to come down playing the box. Ricardo Allen did an outstanding job last year being that high safety, that guy back there. We saw he had a mm-hmm. bunch of interceptions last year. We know he can play that deep safety. Talk about Keanu Neal and what you saw from him. Were there anything that said, okay, maybe he was deserving of that 17th pick?
Day one, he looked like he had been with the team for 4 years.
Really?
I mean, really. It was amazing to watch him from the moments before practice even started. You know, the atmosphere around here when there's practice is
– totally different.
It's
yeah.
totally different. You know, you got the music blaring. You've got – it's very loose. And you're just kind of hanging around with your teammates and – you know, I always think about – I try to put myself in this situation where, you know, I was just drafted and I'm around now a bunch of guys that I don't know. And that's a very uncomfortable situation.
Oh, very.
And you're in the NFL. Very. And you're trying to impress your coaches and not screw up. And you were a first-round pick. And
yeah.
I think there's a lot that could get into my head, I know.
Oh, yeah.
Keanu Neal, very first thing he did as soon as he came out to the field – was he went around and shook hands with every single one of his teammates. Every single one of his teammates before they lined up and began their warm-ups. And that was one of those things that really impressed me. It wasn't a hey, nice to meet you. It was let's go. Let's
yeah.
get this. Let's get after this practice. Let's
yeah.
show the coaches something. So the maturity stuck out to me initially. Then you get onto the field and you get into some drills and you get into some situations where you're 7-on-7, 11-on-11, and this is a kid who looks like he's played in this system for years. I mean, he really does. He is that guy who's going to be your thumper in the box.
Yeah.
Make no mistake about it.
Yeah.
I mean, he is going to be in the box a lot of times, and so he's going to be huge in the run game, and he's going to be huge jamming some of those tight ends that we've had some problems with. And his coverage abilities were – just fantastic. Again, I like that matchup between him and Hooper. It's
yeah.
That's going to be a fun camp matchup.
I heard DQ talk about it. He said it's going to be a matchup we're going to see for a long time, for
long
years
time.
On the road. And
yeah.
It's awesome to hear that, and it's also great to hear him coming out with that leadership already.
Yeah.
And I think that's going to start early, and it has to, because he's going to be thrown into being the guy back there.
He has to be, yeah.
So I think coming out early, showing his other teammates that, hey, yeah, I was a first-round pick, but I'm out here to work just like you guys, and it's not going to be anything different.
But I think that when you get selected in the first round, regardless of what type of player you were in college, whether
respect
you were
that.
A rah-rah guy or whether you were a lead-by-example kind of guy, you're going to be looked at as the guy who's going to be that leader.
Oh, yeah.
And Neal definitely came out on the field knowing that was going to be his role for rookie minicamp. That won't be the way it'll be through OTAs. You know, the guys have actually already started, you know, working out with veterans this week in the weight room, and they'll be getting on the field when OTAs get started, I think, next week.
Mm-hmm.
But it is.
You think DQ went to him and said, "Hey, you're the guy that got to bring the juice"?
I don't think he had to.
Yeah,
I think it's already there. I really don't think he had to. It's already there. It's innate. And would you believe that this kid can't even buy a beer yet?
Bosek, talk about what you just told you before we started. Bosek said something that was I thought was pretty funny. Being how old he is, he told me something else.
Yeah, so I'm 24, and I was sitting in the weight room waiting for the players to arrive. All the undrafted free agents, the signed free agents, our draft picks, and they're all walking in one by one, waiting to get their helmet size, their shoe size, and I'm sitting there filming them for our website and social properties. And I look like a young kid. I could pass a 17 probably. Oh, yeah.
12.
So these guys are walking in, and I'm – or 12.
Or 12.
I was trying to go for five more years.
You can't sneak that by me, my friend.
And they're walking in one by one. I'm like, man, these guys look young. They look young. Yeah. And they're about to get yelled at by these coaches. Right. So you better bring the juice. Like, I want to see all your work.
Wait till you get to my age when you know, your NFL career, you would have already retired.
Yeah.
I'd be drawing that pension right now.
And it's just interesting to hear both of you guys say that, because I asked Bosek about it before he came in, and then you come in and you talk about the maturity level of these guys, and they're all so young.
Yeah.
We talk about the mental part of the game coming in here in a whole new environment. I tell you, when I came in here as a quarterback, when I first walked into the building, I walk around the corner, and the first person that I'm passing is Michael Vick. You can't even imagine that part of it. And I didn't know, like, should I be like, hey, man, what's up? You know, I'm so-and-so. It was weird because you're coming into a different environment with a bunch of new guys, and you're called upon to be a guy who you have to be vocal, especially in a rookie minicamp. He's looked at as that guy. And like you mentioned, it's kind of crazy that you say – that's something DQ didn't have to even tell him. Like, you got to bring the juice. Like, he came out already with it.
I bet you he didn't. And that is something special in this kid. And I think, as Ricardo Allen continues to evolve in his role at the other safety spot, you know, they had to work with Ricardo mm-hmm. to get him to be vocal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Ricardo's a quiet guy. You talk to him, he's a real quiet, real low-key kind of guy. You see him on the field now, though, and he's loud, he's vocal, he's directing traffic, he's doing all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Keanu can do all that already. And now you're going to have two guys back there who are going to be running traffic back there and making sure that everybody's where they're supposed to be. And there is just no shyness at all in Neil. I'm really excited to see him on the field against some of the veterans and to really see what he can do against some of them. And, you know, to be a guy who's like, hey, Brooks Reed, you know, slide over.
Yeah.
Or, hey, Sean Weatherspoon, you know, get over and into this gap. It's going to be interesting to see how he does that, because I feel like, and this is just a guess, I feel like that this is a kid who's going to earn the respect of the older players very quickly.
And you know, I think where that earning their respect comes from is it starts before they even get on the field. Mm-hmm. And I was reading something, I think maybe you guys put it up online. It was talking about Spoon, talking about some of the linebackers, Campbell and also Deion Jones, how he was impressed with them by what they did in the meeting room when they got up on the board and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That goes a long way into when you get on the field, okay, I know this guy knows it, so I can take in what he's telling me. Not he's trying to, you know, do something else, but I can take in what he's telling me, and I can actually listen to even a younger guy if I'm doing something, maybe that's not right, and they're telling me to get in place. So that's good, too.
It is, and so I was really, really impressed with Keanu, and I think, you know, I know there's a lot of fans out there that are still, you know, kind of on the fence about whether you should have taken him at 17 or whatever. I'm going to tell you, wait till you see him.
Yeah.
Come out to training camp. You know, keep an eye on him in the preseason. First couple of games, you're going to see exactly why the Falcons targeted him where they did. And I think he's going to be one of those guys that you're going to look back a couple of years from now and be like, yeah, that was the pick.
You know what? I know DQ and his staff did, they probably want to see these guys fly around. So that's what you talk about, not seeing 50% of the playbook was probably good. because sure. they're able to go out, play fast. They want to see these guys at their best on this level against guys in this camp and be able to move around and say, all right, this is what we got in this kid. We want to see what he's like. We don't see him out there thinking and all that kind of stuff. That stuff's going to come. Right. That stuff is – they got time to really get in depth once the season starts. But we want to see these guys fly around what they really look like in our system,
right.
which I think is big. And I think it was also very smart on DQ and the staff side.
You know, and that's the thing is, like, from the defensive side of things, it's like it's – even if you threw the other 50% of the playbook at the defense, I mean, it's still not going to be all that much. I mean, and that's the way it's designed. It's designed so that they're not out there trying to read and recognize all this stuff before the snap of the ball. It's like you go out there and you already know what you're supposed to be doing. And that's a great thing about DQ's I almost call him Falcons DQ. I think in Twitter handles. I really do. I do. I think in Twitter handles. So, you know, DJ Shockley 3. It's one of those things where you know, you just really feel like this is going to be a kid who can get the job done and get it done from day one. And you know, there's a couple of guys on this in this rookie class that I think can step up and contribute right away. So rookie minicamp overall, I mean, just it surprised me. I mean, it really surprised me.
And I also take a lot from when you talk to these guys after practice or you talk to them after they've gone through the camp or gone through a day of practice and you hear them talk, and you can get a lot from where their mind is. Mm-hmm. And I listen to Keanu talk. I listen to DeAndre talk, and you can hear they're already speaking the DQ, the Falcon language already. When they're talking about it's all about the ball, we're trying to go get it. I think you told me in the text that every time, you know, DeAndre's going for the ball, I mean, every time he's going to make a tackle, he wants the ball as well.
Yeah.
And that's coming in right away, knowing exactly this is how we're going to do it here.
But he does it in a way – his technique is – and this is exactly what he did to Devin Fuller on that first special teams play was, you know, he got downfield and he went right after the ball. But he was making sure that if he didn't get the ball out, he was going to make that tackle.
That's big.
And that's really big. A lot of guys are just going for the ball. They're putting 100% of their money on getting that ball out. And when they don't, there come your bleed yards. Yeah. You know, you're not able to get a guy down where you should have.
You see a lot of guys coming in throwing that shoulder and they're just trying to knock the guy out.
I don't think you're going to see that a lot from this group. Technically, they looked really sound. I mean, you know, again, it's tough to tell in this environment, but man, I was just impressed all around. I've been around. This was my, I think, seventh rookie minicamp, so nothing surprises me anymore.
And here's the good thing about it.
And this surprised me.
The good thing about it is, yeah, it's rookie minicamp. Yeah, they're not in pads. Yeah, this is their first one, but it could have been the other way.
Yeah,
they could have came in. Guys could have been throwing up. Guys could have been out of shape. Guys, could
no,
be,
you're
like
absolutely
you said,
right.
Running like they're like a chicken with the head cut off. It could look a lot worse than it did.
Yeah.
But to say they were impressive in the way they, you know, mentally and physically came out, that goes a long way.
And here's the interesting thing too that we've brought up on this podcast several times is how Dan Quinn is constantly evaluating this roster.
Yeah.
And if you needed any further proof, right at the end of rookie minicamp, you wave three guys and sign four tryout guys. Mm-hmm. Or maybe I've got my numbers switched up here. So you waive four guys you brought in as undrafted free agents, and then you sign three tryout guys. Mm-hmm. And there's this one tryout kid, David Glidden. If you haven't seen any film on this kid, go take a look. This kid's like Wes Welker, just out of nowhere. I mean, just –
slippery in there.
I saw a great tweet last night. It's probably from his agent, but I mean it was really cool. It was just a vine of him, and it's like he puts defensive backs on roller skates, and the way he was running this route was absolutely amazing. Wide receiver, gosh, and I even forget what school he's out of, but he's gonna be one of those guys where everybody's gonna be watching and being like, oh, we really hope this kid makes the team.
Like a Nick Williams.
Yeah, like a Nick Williams.
Speedy Reedy, hoping he makes the team.
Like who?
Speedy Reedy.
Speedy Reedy, yeah. You know, I always have – we'll talk about that when we get to training camp, but there's always a couple of ponies that that make their way into my heart, and I kind of hope they make the team and all that. But, you know, rookie minicamp, great things being seen out of there. Like I mentioned earlier, there's OTAs that are coming up here very, very soon, and we'll have some coverage of that for you as well. You know, NFL.com came out with the their biggest draft bargains for each division, and Austin Hooper ends up being one of five biggest draft bargains in the NFC South.
Wow.
That is, I think, extremely accurate. The fact that you were able to get this kid in the third round is pretty incredible. And, you know, you got to think about what qualifies as a bargain. And if you get a kid who comes in and he's able to – he doesn't have to start. But if he comes in and he's able to make some big catches – able to make some big plays, able to be a red zone threat, or at least start to establish himself that way. Mm-hmm. You're talking about a kid who definitely could be well on his way to getting earning that bargain tag.
Yeah, now I think a lot of people look at the bargain as a guy who could have went in a earlier round, or somebody who probably people thought were very high to go maybe first or second round. In this case, you know, Hooper going in the third, but. Like you mentioned, if he comes in and has some kind of production, and we know how well we use tight ends at times. If you can use two tight ends and have him and Tammy or him and Talolo, whoever it may be, and you cause a lot of different issues for teams. Sure. We saw even last year there were times where you used three tight ends.
Yes.
And we saw Tony Moyagi come in and have a huge game.
Yeah.
Once or twice, big run down the sideline, running over guys.
That was if one of my favorite plays of the year.
You have situations like that where you can have switch-up guys coming in. We know we've talked about some of the receivers that we already have in here, guys that can really make plays for you. It's going to be awesome to have him come in and really be a guy that can contribute to the offense.
Yeah, I completely agree. And just we'll touch really quick on this. You know, one of the things that I noticed during minicamp was, you know, Plan D. And if you're not familiar with Plan D, Plan D is Coach Quinn's development program for all the younger guys. So all the rookies, all the guys that would be on your practice squad, all of those guys are considered Plan D guys. Now, there was a video that was sent out to all 32 it was sent out to all the agents, I guess, that Brian Bosak played a part in creating. Yeah,
me and the other video crew gang, Trevor Lasso and Austin Hiddle, the former guy on the couch.
Yeah, I did a event the other day for the Falcons with it's called Character Playbook, and Nick Williams was there, some other former guys, and I was the MC of the event. And to kick off it was at Champions Middle School, and to kick off the event, played the hype video. Kids were jumping, going crazy. It was pretty good, so kids loved it. They were clapping their things off. So salute to you guys.
It was really, really good stuff. Really highlighted what the commitment level is of this coaching staff, of this front office to developing the talent that they bring in. And I think that, again, that's why you're always evaluating the roster. But, you know, we saw on day two of rookie minicamp that practice ended, quote-unquote practice ended, extremely early. They were in a structured practice format all the way up. They started at 1. They were supposed to finish at 3. They finished around 2:15. And then for another 20, 30 minutes or so, each position coach worked individually with each player out there, and that's Plan D.
Wow.
That's the stuff you're seeing at the end of practice. Is, you know, if you come out to training camp this year, you'll see you know, a lot of guys doing some extra work on the field, and they're working with Coach Quinn, and they're working with their position coaches, and it's very one-on-one. It seems very laid back. You can ask the questions that you need to ask. You can work on the techniques that you need to work on. And the whole idea behind it is you start to develop yourself, your talent. You start to develop your weaknesses into strengths. And I think you're going to see this whole thing start to pay off. If you see a guy like a Tyler Starr, who is in a very, very crowded position right now, very, very crowded.
Yeah.
But he was a plan D guy. What was it? Every Friday, Bosak, we were out there at the end of practices during the regular season. Dan Quinn and Tyler Starr worked for 20 minutes on hand work and speed and get off the line. Yeah. And if you see a guy like a Tyler Starr make the team, make an impact, get on this roster, it's because of plan D.
It's a lost art, I think, in the league. I think it's a lost art in what people see as these guys being great players. They see them as, okay, they see them on Sunday, and they just see them go out and play, but they don't understand what goes into that part of it. And I think having that centralized focus on that particular position or that particular player, it helps them, because this league is all about the technique, doing the right thing with your hands, like you talk about with Star, or having the right foot as a defensive back. Those things have to come second nature to you. And I think a lot of coaches, a lot of teams lose sight of that because they just want to get their game plan in and do that the best they can and then just play the game. But there are so many other little small details. I know that DQ is always about the details that will make those developmental guys, when they need to step in and play, perform.
But and that's the thing is, like, you see a lot of coaches who will only focus on their star players, their players who are starters, their players who are going to make an impact. You've got guys that may next week be selling insurance who are out there this week working one-on-one with DQ on a certain technique thing. And I think that's something that you got to keep an eye on it, because it's one of those things there that shows why this is a coaching staff and a front office that is constantly doing the revolving door with some of these guys on the practice squad. And it may not seem like a big deal, may not seem like a big thing, but they are working so closely with these guys that they're able to identify pretty quickly who is going to continue on in this program and who is not.
Right.
And we need to get somebody in here who is going to contribute. And so for right now, from number one all the way to number 88, because you got two roster spots that are open right now, you're focusing on every single one of those guys. And I think that's one of the cool things about what Dan Quinn has established here with the Falcons. One thing I want to bring up is, make sure you're checking out AtlantaFalcons.com and all of our social properties for so we had some media availability on Wednesday. Mohamed Sanu, Sean Weatherspoon, and Alex Mack spoke to the media. Sean Weatherspoon, no surprise, entertaining as ever, spoke for about 17, 18 minutes.
And couple questions about D-Block, I heard.
A couple of D-Block questions, and we had a little we exchanged glances a little bit when that was but we'll see what happens there. I don't know. I
non-committal on
non-committal. I love D-Block. It's obviously something very close to my heart, and one of the things that I'm proud to be a co-founder.
I think like 3 or 4 months back, I went back and I just went on YouTube and I was just looking up all the different D-Blocks, all the different freestyles and guys, coaches sitting in. I mean, it was good stuff.
When I think back about some of the stuff we did, I walked in one day and those guys literally right after Friday practice. And keep in mind, this was, I think, during the 2012 season, so I don't want to hear any crap about how, oh, they should have been practicing or focused. They played well that season.
All right.
I walk in the locker room and they have like a whole band set up in there. They've got drums, they've got a keyboard, they got the bass guitar, they've got acoustic guitar. I mean, I'm like, what is going on? And they're like, oh, it's a D-Block sing-along today. Oh, okay.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah. 1 minute.
Like, seriously, they made our job so easy. Myself and Matt Moore. I mean, Matt Moore was really kind of the brains behind it. And we both just kind of worked together to kind of make it happen each week and kind of throw our ideas in there. But, man, we were really – we had the easiest jobs in the world with those guys, because they would be thinking all week about what they wanted to have on the show. It's like we would just show up and be like, all right, what are you guys doing today? And that day you walk in and they've got an entire band set up.
Who was – I can't remember his name. Always sat in the back with the helmet on the whole time. Who was that?
Pat Schiller. Pat Schiller. He was, an undrafted guy. And so the rookies don't talk. They're not allowed to talk on D-Block. And so he kind of took on his own persona as kind of like the stoic guy in the back of the room, wore sunglasses and usually like some kind of flowered hat. And he is a legend. He is a D-Block legend. I mean, he belongs in the D-Block Hall of Fame. He's back in Chicago these days. I think he's coaching football. But, you know, there's so many different things, so many different memories, so many behind-the-scenes stories. We should do we should bring in Matt Moore and do a behind-the-scenes of D-Block and tell some of the untold stories.
The best of.
The day I almost got fired.
Got to hear that story.
Yeah, that one's a good one. There's a lot of fun, a lot of history behind D-Block. I don't know if it'll come back, guys. I really don't, because
gotta
it
have
it
the
was
right personalities
so great.
In
back
I mean,
then,
Pat. I mean, big. We had big Stephen Nicholas, man.
Stephen Nicholas,
crazy.
Mike
big
Peterson,
Nick, Mike
Robert
P.
James, Akeem Dent. You know, all those
the group
guys.
Of characters.
I mean, it was awesome. So, but make sure you get online and on the webs there and check out at least Sean's press conference, because it was a lot of fun. To listen to him.
Alex Mack talking about he don't care who's back there. He gonna snap it.
Yeah, exactly, man.
I like that.
It's so funny. Like he did say, he's like, somebody asked him, have you and Matt been working a lot on your snap? I was like, well, you know, it's like, it's the same thing. You
right.
know, it's not like we have to do a whole lot. We worked off to the side once. I think yeah. I snapped to him like four times and then I walked away. And he's like, yeah, we're good. So
they're already mates in the locker rooms. They're like, hey, I see enough of you.
They are. And that's the thing about this new locker room structure is how cool it is. It opens everything up, and all these guys can kind of see each other and talk to each other. And so they're developing relationships a lot easier these days than they were before with the previous setup. But I know I'm looking at a very anxious Brian Bosak who's looking to take a little break and ask us one heck of a question.
All right, question this week. It's off the handle.
I mean, this is – I hope you have an answer because I have nothing right now.
All right, you can stop one product from being – let me start this over. You can stop one product from ever being invented. What do you choose?
So you go back in time and
yep.
you can stop,
stop
a product.
A product.
Let's define product here.
An item that you use,
like a microphone or something,
like something that you would purchase at a store.
Yeah, correct.
Like at a big box store.
There you go.
So like I can't say like nuclear weapons. Like that would
yeah,
be.
Yeah, you couldn't say the New Orleans Saints.
Everybody knows that. It'd be ridiculous.
It would have to be something that's pretty inconsequential to
right.
daily life.
Right.
But just annoys the heck out of you.
Yeah.
Okay. That's a good question.
That is a very good question. Bosak, you have to have an answer first. You have
I do.
To.
Want me to get it going?
Yeah, get it going, please.
All right, well, this is just something that took a very personal effect on my life. A Razor scooter. I would stop that from ever being invented.
A what?
A Razor. It's like a two-wheeled scooter.
Two-wheeled scooter that everybody kinda, there was all the rage
yeah.
10 years ago.
Yeah, well, it used to be a big thing. And so it was a big thing when I was a teenager. Figured I'd bring it to college. Brought one into college to get around quicker.
Mm-hmm.
Taken out one day, hit a pothole, face plant into the concrete.
Oh.
Lost two teeth.
Ooh.
My front two teeth, so now I got crowns in my front two teeth.
Oh, wow.
Chiclets on the pavement, man.
Chiclets yep. on the
couple
pavement.
Of, lost your front chiclets.
Right, so,
you could have played for the Blackhawks.
Yeah,
you could have gone out there
I'd
and
fit right in.
You would have.
Even the White Sox. Man. Someone's losing teeth over there, too.
Oh, man, that's definitely a good one. This is a very tough question.
I saw the question. I still, it's hard.
I'm trying to think of like a product that just drives me nuts or.
This is really weird. I can't, it's hard. It's hard. That's a hard question.
It's a very hard yeah. question.
And watch, I got to put this one up on Twitter and people are going to
yeah.
be. I'm like, oh, yeah.
Definitely yeah. tweet us your answer. I'm sure, again, there's people like screaming at their phones or.
Right.
Computers about what product they would choose for this.
Man, I got you guys biting your
tongues. This might be
here.
A stumper here.
Yeah.
Can I say like a traditional suit?
Sure. Yeah, that's an item you'd buy in a store.
Oh.
Yeah.
You hate suits?
I hate them.
Hate them?
Cause here's the thing, and here's the deal with me and clothes. All right.
Oh, you speak of clothes. Okay, I'm with that then.
The
invention of skinny jeans. Come on, how about that?
Yeah, there you go. There's an odd. But here's the thing about it. You know, if you see me in person, you know, that I If you were to take a mannequin.
You're looking really passionate right now about this. Really, like, driving you.
It makes me both angry, sad, depressed, and it gets me fired up. But if you put a mannequin from a store next to me, we look nothing alike. Nobody's gonna think that we're related. So what I'm trying to say is, clothiers, people who make clothes, don't do so with my body type in mind. All right. And so these nice suits, like, I see them on the rack and I'm like, oh,
I'd be looking good.
That's a great suit. And then I get the suit and I get it tailored and I put it on. And the darn pockets are sticking out like I got wings. And I put on the jacket. And the jacket's coming down like over my thumbs because I've got short arms. And the cuffs are dragging against the floor because I've got short legs. And it's just
you spent all that money on a suit.
Just the most uncomfortable experience. And then this is the thing that drives me nuts, okay, about this. Is the top button of your shirt, you know, whatever your neck size is. I got an 18 neck, right? So they tell me I need to wear an 18 and a half.
Yeah.
What do you wear?
17. 15?
Okay. Well, you got to be like
it's a like 15 12. And a half. Okay.
12? Yeah, like 12.
12 and, yeah. So I wear an 18, so they say I got to wear like an 18 and a half. So I should just be able to get my finger between my neck
and...
little breathing room. Not much.
Yeah.
A little bit.
You don't want to be hanging and, you know, just sagging on you.
The way I move my neck throughout the day and all this other stuff, I get home, I've got these red marks here. It's like it's like somebody tried to strangle me. And it's just so uncomfortable. And you know what else I don't like?
You opened it.
You know what else I don't like?
I opened it.
Socks that you have to pull up over your calves because I've got very large calves.
Yeah.
And so it's more like compression socks.
They squeeze your leg.
They squeeze me.
Then and you
they,
take them off and get the big ring around your leg.
Yeah, like 3 hours later, I still got a ring around the mid-calf. So I'm going to say suits.
Just wear the footies, man.
Suits and socks.
Just wear the footies, man.
Clothes. I'm really at the age now where, and it's great.
If you could come to work in... And sweats and, you know, nice tee, you'd be good with that?
Yeah, I would. Yeah, yeah. I'd be okay with that. And I'm wearing jeans right now. I normally don't wear jeans to work, right. But I wore jeans today and just a polo. I'm comfortable enough.
Yeah.
But I'm to the point and have been the last couple of years where I'm at the age where, like, if I've got to run to the store and just pick something up, I don't care what I look like. Like, I'm out there in, like, a hoodie and, like, basketball shorts and...
Oh, yeah.
All this,
it's like, my everyday wear right there.
I mean, that's the thing. But
I got too many basketball shorts.
But you remember when you were in like your 20s, anytime you would like go out.
Oh, yeah.
You
just
know,
threw it on. And
you're like, well, I got to look good. I don't know who I'm going to run into. You know, you got to get your jeans on. You get a nice shirt. You're just going to the store to pick
now
up a gallon
of milk.
Now it is
what it is.
I'm like, well, what's the least amount of clothing I have to put on to make it to be allowed inside the establishment? That's where I'm at. So, Bosek, to answer your question, and thank you for opening a very, very dark door in my life, my answer would be
the passion
suits.
Is real, man.
DJ, you think of anything during that time? Are you going to?
I gave you a lot to work
postpone till next week?
Yeah, postpone till next week.
Oh, you can't postpone.
Skinny jeans, is that what you're going to go with?
No, that's just, you know.
Okay, we'll postpone.
That's one for me. I'm sure a lot of people love skinny jeans, but
here's my thing: is
my thighs are too big for that.
I'm gonna be driving home later, and I'm gonna think of like 20 things.
Oh yeah, that's gonna happen.
That I hate.
You guys,
and I'm
gonna
make a
full
list
of texts of them. Yeah,
and I'm just gonna tweet them out. That's it. So after this goes up, this will go up on Thursday. Look out for my Twitter account, and I'm not even gonna like open it up with anything. I'm just gonna like tweet a list of all the things that I came up with that I would like to stop from ever being invented.
I'm going
to
have a few of those myself.
All right, I'm
gonna
be looking
so
forward to that.
Yeah. That's going to be a good one. I can't wait for that. Good question, though, Bo.
Thank you. Thank
yeah,
you,
that
thank
was,
you, thank
that
you.
Was a really good question.
That was solid.
That one will make you think. All right, so final play here on this week's podcast. Bo, why don't you hit us with this one?
Come on,
right.
Bo.
Where's your mind at on this one? What are we doing?
I have no idea where my mind's at with this one. But for the final play, if you could come up with a crazy trade scenario for the Falcons, what would it be? Like, who would you want to bring in, and who would you be willing to sadly sacrifice?
okay, let's trade for Von Miller on the other side of Vic Beasley. Right now.
You must be from Twitter.com.
All right. That's who I like. Hell yeah. I like Von Miller. He can make everybody else better around him. I know that.
You're not trading for Von Miller.
No, it's crazy. It doesn't need to be real.
Oh, crazy?
Crazy, yeah.
You see the first word is crazy.
Yeah, I saw that.
But be crazy.
Kind of thinking more realistic.
No, this is crazy, not realistic.
Can we trade for that mountain guy on Game of Thrones? He's out there somewhere, right?
Give me Bobby Boucher.
Bobby Boucher. Yeah. Can we trade for Bobby Boucher? It won't take much.
Tell him the Gatorade has been tainted.
Mm-hmm.
He'll go crazy.
Yep. I'm going to go realistic. I'm going to say that the Falcons could be in the market for a pass rusher at some point here in the offseason. A little trade action. Everybody,
you don't have any?
No, I'm not going to. What are you, nuts? I'm not going to give out names. I'm not sacrificing anything. Right. If anything, I'm offering you on the trading block.
All right. That's not cool, but okay.
How much you willing to give up for? Are you looking for a top tier, or are you looking for a 5-6 sack guy?
No, I'm talking 10-plus guy.
So top tier. Got to be a top tier.
Top tier. And now I'm trying to think of, like, who would possibly be on the trading block, because it's not often that guys like that end up on the trading block.
Right.
We just got to hope somebody gets really, really unhappy. Can, like, J.J. Watt get really unhappy Houston or something like that?
That'd be nice.
Khalil Mack?
None. Yeah, that'd be... You saw me forming it, right?
I said, cut. I'm like, I know where you're going. The guy we were one pick away from. I love Jake Matthews, but
that dude,
Khalil, is that dude.
I mean, what? Alex Mack got mad in Cleveland, and we got him.
Yeah.
So it's not out of the realm of possibility that it could not happen. So.
All right, let me close this out with a second final play.
Oh, snap.
And this one's just kind of a quick one, and it has nothing to do with us, but we always end up playing this team. We're playing them in the preseason, unfortunately, in Game 4. But are the Jaguars for real?
I say yes.
Man.
I say yes. You look at the free agency. Yes. You look at the draft. You look at how good they are getting on offense.
Wow, is all I got to say. On paper?
Come on.
Extremely impressive team.
Come on. And – they're not in a really, really tough division, so
it can be had.
Yes,
and that's why I think I brought it up before. But part of me wishes that we could play them in the third preseason game, because then you kind of see where you're at.
Their offense, some of their starters, top five last year. In categories all around. I mean,
right? But
Bortles
but
coming to his own.
Loaded up on defense. You had Miles Jack fall to you in the second round.
Crazy.
I mean, my goodness, if he can hold up, what you want to talk about bargains? Mm. There's a bargain right there. I was just curious. That's a team that I'm keeping my eye on outside of the Falcons. It's just very interesting to me.
They can score a lot of points.
Cast of characters.
They can score a lot of points.
They can score a lot of points and keep a lot of teams from scoring points.
So it's going to be interesting to see what Jacksonville does, man.
It is very Duval. Very interesting now that we've been 2 weeks departed from the draft. So. Well, we'll come back next week, and you won't be here. Maybe John Michaels will make it up here. John might still be stuck in traffic next week, but hopefully he will. And if it's just me and Bosek, then it's just me and Bosek. We'll
throw something together.
We can hash something out.
I say keep the party going, man.
We're
going
to keep it going. DJ Shockley out next week, but we'll still be back here with you. Remember to check us out on iTunes. AtlantaFalcons.com, our mobile app, Falcons Mobile. We are everywhere. There's no excuse not to listen to us unless you don't like us. But go ahead and review us, please. Only if you have nice things to say. DJ is going to take a selfie.
Everybody.
Right here. And we are out.